Up next, we bring you the second in a two-part series on an executive session hosted by Walmart for international media last week. As Ozarks at Large's Jacqueline Froelich reports, company U.S. and international division chiefs detail global proliferation and compliance deployment.
The International Business Panel was hosted by Division Chief Doug McMillan, widely rumored to be one of two candidates to replace Walmart CEO Mike Duke when he takes his leave. If chosen, the soft-spoken 46-year-old will have to steer the world's largest retailer through a prickly global economy, ongoing bribery and supply chain labor scandals, and a small but increasingly vocal union-organized worker strike. Doug McMillan opened the panel with a summary overview.
We've been outside the U.S. for a little more than 20 years. As Maggie said, we're now in 26 markets, 6,100 stores of different formats. We operate supercenters, Walmart supercenters in some countries, but we also operate what we call discount compact hypers, which are a lower cost, smaller supercenter, but selling food, GM, and apparel. We operate Sam's Clubs. We operate some small stores that we typically refer to as soft discount stores. So when you think of Walmart International, don't just think of it as being a Walmart supercenter. It's a very diverse business as we stretch around the world.
The International Division now operates in 26 countries, contributing to nearly 30% of net sales, a total of $132 billion, up 7% over last year, and saw the opening of 500 new stores. But thinking local in diverse cultures also means enforcing compliance in places where shadowy business practices prevail, which is why Walmart is building a compliance leadership team.
We've changed program design in some areas, including in the areas of anti-corruption permits and licensing. We've changed the way reporting structures work in some parts of the company. We're strengthening our ethics function, strengthening our internal audit area, and making decisions where we can, I'll use China and food safety as the example, to reach closer to the supply base to make sure that we are doing everything we can to ensure safe product.
Food safety is especially important in China, where Walmart is investing more than $60 million. And international vendors or suppliers for both international and U.S. stores will be held increasingly accountable regarding their subcontractors, with Walmart conducting more site inspections, especially in rogue manufacturing districts such as Bangladesh, where 1,100 garment workers perished this year in a building collapse. The issue came up during Friday's shareholder meeting when former child garment worker Kalpona Akhtar, now executive director of the Bangladesh Center for Worker Solidarity, demanded that Walmart sign on to a legally binding global safety workers pact.
Walmart would not have to bear the cost of these safety improvements alone. In the past few weeks, 42 companies have already signed the Accord on Fire and Building Safety, which represents a real commitment to worker safety. But Walmart is one of only a few major retailers refusing to sign.
Company instead is pursuing an in-house compliance protocol. Doug McMillan said that growth in Mexico stores has slowed due to new permitting processes, as well as in China due to developer infrastructural issues, and also Brazil. Walmart's under investigation by the Justice Department and U.S. Securities and Exchange Commission for allegedly approving as much as $24 million in bribes to build stores in Mexico. Alleged violations may have also occurred in China, India, and Brazil. The company recently reported on its mid-May earnings report spending $44 million on ongoing inquiries and investigations, plus $29 million for its global compliance program. Switching subjects, Doug McMillan says acculturating international consumers to Walmart's EDLP paradigm, or everyday low price, is taking time.
I'm excited about it. I know that it works. I know that it works from experience, not only in international, but also from past experience in the U.S. I also know it's hard, and it takes discipline.
The U.S. business panel was hosted by Division Chief Bill Simon, another rumored contender to replace Mike Duke. Walmart's U.S. counts 4,000 stores and more than $10 billion in net sales last year. But this year, the retailer has been plagued by reports that stores are understaffed and understocked. Bill Simon.
Yeah, I read those too. I thought that was fascinating reporting. We try to get better every day we operate. We call it COE, correction of errors. And our in-stock levels, we call it on-shelf availability today. It's a variable. Time of day matters, time of day of week matters, and then the seasonality matters. And then in addition to that, we have variance in performance. We have really good stores, and like everybody else and everything that we do, we have a bottom 10%. And our bottom 10%, you know, fortunately or unfortunately, is 400 and something stores. So we have an entire chain that's not where we want it to be on virtually everything. And so we have programs in place to try to get everybody better.
As part of a 10-year, $50 billion buying local initiative, Walmart plans to improve its produce aisle as well as merchandise in general. Supercenter construction has slowed in recent years, but not neighborhood markets and express store construction, which is needed to rival local grocers and dollar stores. As many as 200 neighborhood markets will be built by the end of the year, Simon said. Plus, they need to hire 50,000 more U.S. workers, which is status quo.
50,000 would be a peak period as we're building for holiday, for example. 15,000 probably on a low period. But again, 15,000 people divided by 4,000 stores is like four.
This year, Walmart vowed to eventually employ 100,000 U.S. veterans. It's received 3,000 applicants so far and hired 400.
It is not a charity. We're getting great talent out of the deal. These folks deserve a chance and deserve an opportunity after what they've given our country, and we're just giving them a chance back, and we're going to reap the benefits probably tenfold for that.
But such widely publicized ventures only mask chronic employee problems, critics say. 100 Walmart strikers from across the country joined associates in Northwest Arkansas last week, pushed by United Food and Commercial Workers Union organizers to protest, legally restrained from protesting on Walmart property. They crowded on the public sidewalks in front of company headquarters, calling out to executives inside.
Along with those.
Not here today.
Won't be silent anymore.
Striker Dominic Ware works part-time at store 5434 in San Leandro, California, earning less than $9 per hour. He says he may have to supplement with food stamps to get by. The company does not disclose what percentage of its workforce is part-time, but critics claim it's substantial. Dominic Ware says all Walmart workers deserve a living wage.
I'll say $12 an hour, and which would be about $25,000 a year. And that would be awesome. Even part-time associates be able to get by. So, and I believe they can do that. You know, whether they wouldn't even have to touch raising prices or none of the money out of their own pocket. They can take something, you know, out of their stocks or something and do that. Like, you know, it's just, I don't know how we can figure this out. That's just making me feel they just don't care.
Straddling the top of the Fortune 500 list, Walmart is now a $466 billion company, returning $13 billion to shareholders, of which the Walton heirs own a majority and controlling share. For Ozarks at Large, I'm Jacqueline Froelich.